Please turn with me this morning to the Old Testament book of Numbers, the 21st chapter, Numbers 21. We'll read verses 1 through 9 for our text this morning. And when King Arad, the Kenite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Kenites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water. In our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. I want to talk to you this morning about encouragement. Encouragement. We have been endeavoring to deal with what I've entitled the big E's. Biggies. These are big E's. And maybe, just maybe, the first one on envy, I was the only one that needed that. The one on enough last week, a few of us need to be reminded that God is enough. But I believe that today, when I'm talking about encouragement, is something that we all need. We need encouragement because life is hard. We live in a sin-cursed world. I would say that if you're struggling today, thank God. Thank God. Having to deal with the struggles of life that we do, keep us close to the cross and close to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Now, I don't see, and I know you don't, the word encourage in this text, but you do see the opposite of it, discourage. And the thing about it is, the remedy for all of it is Jesus Christ. I know that you already got that already. I mean, that is a conclusion when the pole was to be made and a brazen serpent lifted up and the people look at that. That is emblematic of our Savior Jesus. What are you looking at? Who are you looking at? It has to be Jesus or you're going to be discouraged. Now, Jesus uses this same reference to Scripture, as you know, in John chapter 3, where he says, as Moses lifted up the brazen serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so this is not an idea that just sounds Christian. Encouragement is not a suggestion that God makes. It is a command that we're to encourage. We're to be encouraged and we're to encourage one another. And we have all we need to have encouragement. But if we don't have it and we don't take advantage of it, we will die. What happens is it brings on sin. What happens is it makes us complain. You know, I was thinking this morning, I didn't say a word to my wife about it, but I thought to myself, I wonder how my wife can hear me preach every Sunday, especially about a message of encouragement, because she has to hear me around the house all the time, and I'm afraid sometimes I don't talk so encouraging. But I want you to know, parents, your children are listening to you, and we need to be sure that we speak with encouraging words. Now, here's the thing about encouragement I want us to know. Encouragement is not just saying, well, you know, you sure look good. Encouragement is not saying, you know, you make the best chicken and dumplings I've ever ate. No. Encouragement is comforting and strengthening. It is putting courage in somebody. That's what courage is. And we need that in our world today. It's not just a pat on the back. Now, sure, there's an application for that if it's done right, but it's not flattery. It's not trying to fake that everything's all right. God didn't tell these people that, well, you know, it's all right. He says you look to Jesus because that's where your hope is. And one thing about it, you cannot have faith and be discouraged at the same time. They don't mix. So seems like we need to gather our hearts this morning and say, I'm gonna be encouraged. And what do you get from the Holy Spirit? He is our encourager. To be a child of God is the most encouraging position we can be in. Even though we have struggles, life is hard, and we got to deal with it. We have to face it, but that is where our strength goes in our ways, in our days. Actually, sometimes encouragement is best applied with a kick in the seat of the pants rather than a pat on the back. You understand that? You see, an encourager is not one that just says, well, doesn't matter. You know why a mother is a great encourager? Because they love that child. You know why a father is a great encourager? Because he loves that child. But to really embrace what encouragement is, God has to get our attention. I know I shared this a while back, but I was thinking, this happened a long time ago. But you know, teachers, and you know, it's an uncanny gift when you can motivate people. See, your teachers teach, and they're like, but you know what an encourager, they motivate. They motivate students to learn. And lots of you have that. I've been around you long enough to know. There's coaches in sports arena that are motivators. These guys have abilities that is a gift. It is a spiritual gift. Romans 12, 8, we are to be encouragers. But when I remember years ago, I remember in a locker room at halftime at Southeast Bullock High School. And I remember that year I was one of the captains. And I remember Coach Fred Shaver coming into that halftime and we were losing. And I remember we were sitting there in silence just waiting for what he was going to say. What kind of encouragement? What he was going to say? And I remember he didn't say a word. All he did was take his clipboard, I still remember the sound of it, and he raised it upon his head as high as he could, and he slammed it to the concrete floor in the locker room. And he walked out. And he left us there. And we found that being captains, you had to say something. It's kind of like the tragic death of Charlie Kirk. When somebody that you have respect for, that has stood for what's right in your life, he walks out. God gets our intention. Maybe it's something in your life. But I'm going to tell you, encouragement brought about such an enthusiastic reaction to our so-called failure in the first half. We won that ball game. I'm going to tell you, my friends, when God is in it, that makes a difference. Do not let your failures keep you from encouragement. Brother Arthur, we're so glad you're here today. And you're not supposed to be here either, in some ways. You know what Brother Arthur Woodrum told me? He had back surgery, you know, just a few days ago, down in May. It could have went either way. Brother Arthur talked to me about it. He has a medical doctor son that told him the same thing. But he stood out here in the hall, right behind where I am, after Bible study the other night, before he goes down to Jacksonville, and I said, Brother Arthur, we're going to pray for you. He said, I'm glad you, I want you to. But he says, I have a peace about it. Because he said this, he said, may God's will be done. And whatever's done in that surgery, if I can't walk again, or if I can, whatever, it's going to be God. You see, that's encouraging. That's encouraging when you can point someone to God. You know, I asked two people this week, watch out for the opportunities you have. God's going to give them to you. I asked two people this week where they went to church. They were not associated with this church. Didn't know anything about their church affiliation. One man said, and we were just in a business kind of arrangement, really. He said, I don't go anywhere. That's what he said. I don't go anywhere. I got there, maybe nobody's encouraged him. 2 days later, I talked to a guy. I said, in our conversation, you can't get away from God in your life. See, how I know you're encouraged is what you think about God. That's why I want to ask you where to go to church. That's the most important thing about you, what you think of God. See, these Israelites, you know, they wanted it. They wanted God. They believed in Him. But a lot of us have problems trusting God with everything. Now we just finished a message, a series on trusting God, and I told you, and I believe you know, trusting God is not easy. I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to understand that. He says, you look at that narrow way. That's the way you got to go. Straight and narrow, squeezing. If you have an opportunity, if you stand at ever in the life choices and you have two ways, and both ways are all right, you take the hardest one. You take the hardest way because that's the way that you're going to stay close to God. Now, these people were discouraged because of the way, but they were exactly where God wanted them to be. Yet, they didn't believe it. They didn't trust Him. They said, well, I don't have any water. I don't have any food. Gosh, you're going to let us die? I mean, He'd already brought them across the Red Sea. He already promised them way back in Deuteronomy. He said, I got you the promised land. Just go get it. See, you're already saved by God's grace. You understand that. You're not here to say, I got to get good enough. No, Jesus has already made you good enough. God does not ask your permission to save you. He saves you for His purpose because He loves you. But don't get discouraged when things don't always work out like you think it is or should or will. It's not going to be like that. Don't get discouraged because you don't think your abilities are not, you know? We get discouraged because I can't do it. I don't have enough. I'm so little. I don't know enough. I mean, no, Moses tried that in Exodus 4. You know, he said, God says, you go to my people. Moses said, God, I can't even talk. I can't even speak right. God, I'm slow to speech. What did God say? God didn't say, well, yeah, you are. You're a good speaker. You know what God said? God said, Moses, I am God. I am that I am. And you know what God is telling you and me? You say, well, I've failed. I've done this, that, and the other. But you understand this, that Christ died, and there's no sin greater than the grace of God. Now, I'll tell you about the devil. And I think you already know this too. His greatest tool is discouragement. If he can discourage us, that's all he wants, man. That's what he's going to do. He will discourage us. The other man I was talking about, I said, where do you go to church? He said, I go to Brooklyn. Was the Methodist Church, Brooklyn Community Church? I said, you do? He said, yeah. I said, you know, said I went there. And said, I decided I wasn't going to church after that. And said, when I got on the grass, my wife and I, we were leaving, some man come up to me and called my name. And said, he began to talk to me. And he began encouraging me. I said, who was that man? He said, that man's Chap Crumley. You know Chap Crumley? You know an encourager. He said, I've been at that church 20 years because somebody, not because they got a great preacher, not because it's this, that, and the other, somebody encouraged me. How about us? Ask God to help us encourage one another. Encourage your children. Your grandchildren, your family. You say, well, I don't know anything about it, but do you know Jesus? Didn't you play Jesus Loves Me? I thought I heard that. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hey, you don't have to be some theologian. I mean, you know, these people looking at that pole, they didn't have to be real up close to it. They didn't have to be standing in a certain situation. They didn't have to have a lot of the right clothes on or just look just right. What they had to do was look. Isaiah said, look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth. Maybe God's getting our attention and allowing discouraging circumstances to come in our life. Just so we'll look to Him, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Do not be discouraged by how far you think you've got to go. Be thankful for how far you've come. You understand that? So here we see these people, they're discouraged because of the way. So my first point is, and I'm going to say this briefly, is life is hard, because that's why we need encouragement. We live in a sin-cursed world. I mean, our bodies are breaking down. Some of you still got it, but you know, one day's coming, you're going to look in the mirror, you're going to be discouraged. I promise you. These bodies aren't going to be the same. That can be awful and discouraging if this was the only hope we have. I mean, we do fail. What are you going to do with your failure? I believe this for the Christian, every failure is a back door to success. If we're not discouraged. I mean, with the tough get going, or going gets tough, what Vince Lombardi, the great Packer coach, said, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That now's the time. Courage, inner strength, your attitude. Encouragement. Secondly, we need encouragement to appreciate what we have. See, if you're always thinking about what you don't have, you're going to be pretty discouraged. But these people, see, they had the most important they could have. They had God. Okay? You tell me how in the world we can be discouraged and have God? How in the world can we be discouraged realizing that Jesus Christ conquered this world? He did say in John 16:33, in this life you will have tribulation. You got a lot of trouble. You got some problems. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I would say the resurrection of the Jesus Christ is the encouragement. We sung because he lives. Yeah? Because he lives, we live. We can face tomorrow. I can tell you this, and I know you know it. If you read the New Testament, when the disciples saw the risen Lord, it changed their life. Those two that were on the walk to Emmaus and they felt so discouraged because they couldn't see anybody. They thought Jesus was dead forever. But he had supper with them and their heart burned. They realized later that they were living in the presence of an greatest encourager that's ever been. You see, the thing about Christ we need to remember is he did weep. But he never complained. See, discouragement will cause us to complain. Everything we have is from God. And I try to say this because I love you. I hope that's where it comes out. But you and I both are sure to have all the problems and trouble that we're supposed to have in this life. That's true. It comes from God. He has to cause it or allow us, or he's not sovereign. The Bible says he is. Now, are we going to believe God? Or are we going to go by what they say? I'd say that that coined phrase in parentheses, they say, are probably the most discouraging words that we go by. You know, we're so concerned about what people say, what people think. But I want to give you some encouragement. God knows you better than anybody else does. He knows what's in your heart. I mean, he got it to come out of Peter. He said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. You see, he had denied him three times because he was discouraged. He thought he was going to be crucified too. So Jesus calls on him to affirm three times that he loved him. I'll tell you what love is. Love is the greatest expression of encouragement there ever is. When you love somebody, you're going to encourage them. I have seen my wife, Penny, have some knockdown and drag outs with one of my granddaughter, Caroline, about studying, about getting her homework. And I have seen her grill her to the point. We rode to Perry and back one time, and Penny sat there in the back seat with Caroline going over a history lesson. And she grilled her there and back. You say, what in the world? That can't be encouraging. She made an A on the test. And it shocked the teacher. And she said, Caroline, stand up and let the class see you. What did that come from and encourage you? And there's somebody in your life, God has put in your life for you to encourage. Sister Bonnie, you encourage me. Every time I see you walk in this church. See, we need to look at people. We live in a hurting world. People are broken. We live in a world where people can't even talk to one another face to face. They have to do a chat screen or a text or something like that. But you won't find them with a handshake or hug. Makes us appreciate what we have. And you know what? If you really looked at what you have, you wouldn't be discouraged. It might not be what everybody else has, but you're not supposed to have what everybody else has. See, God has given you that. You are His personally, His sheep. By the way, Randy Neesmith, he didn't know. When I told him the other day about speaking here, I said, Randy, you choose any scripture you want. And he did. But he got up there and he mentioned the 23rd Psalm. Do you know what I studied all last week preparing to go to Mount Union to preach? The 23rd Psalm. I felt like the Lord was leading me with five messages on those verses from the 23rd Psalm. And Randy Neesmith read it here this morning at Statesboro Primitive Baptist Church. You say, well, I just go. There's no such a thing as chance for a Christian. You hear me? So what I want you and me to do, I want us to go to God. See, grace will take us to God when we're hurting. Even when we discourage. But faith is what it takes to leave it there. I read a devotional this morning. I don't know who wrote it. It's really short. But he said this guy was struggling. He was struggling with his religious life about God. He didn't understand why things were happening. I mean, like a lot of us. We believe in God, but because we don't understand Him, we're just kind of disillusioned. And we don't think He really loves us. And we really admitted it. But he said he went to this church service and he heard one of the preachers say, let God. So he said that impressed him and he wrote it put it on some letters and put it on his refrigerator and some magnets or something, you know, where he could see it every day. But he said, I still couldn't get out of the burden of being depressed. But he said, one morning I walked in there and the D had fell off the refrigerator door. And all that was there was let go. Let go. Are you discouraged? You're going to have to let go. You can't serve God and everything else too. You give God your life and God will give it back to you. and you will be a great encourager. And I'm thankful that you are. And I won't say much about this, but my last thought about this message of encouragement was, not only do we need encouragement because life is hard, not only do we need encouragement to appreciate what we have, we need encouragement for the health of our soul. There's a proverb that says, you can take, a man can take, or a woman, lots of heartache, but a broken spirit, who can bear? You can't take it. People can't deal with it. You can't persevere without faith. Now what's happening here is what's happening in our lives. These people might not have felt like it, but God said, look to the brazen serpent. Jesus says the same as looking to Jesus. Your faith and mine is not about how you feel. It's about what you believe. Because your feelings will catch up with your belief. And I'm not talking about having hope in your hope. I'm talking about hope in Christ. He's your only hope. He's the only way. Truth is an encouragement. When somebody tells the truth, it encourages you. And when we tell the truth, it's encouraging. You know, you say, well, I just can't get it all. You know, a light, just a little bit of light, is evidence that there's more light. The thing about God is He can take a little. And I think He'd rather work like that. But see, the devil knows we get discouraged because we just, we've lost this, we have little. Some of you have lost precious loved ones. I know you have. I've been there. So have I. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. You know what God says? It's a command. He just got through telling about the resurrection. He said those that are hurting because of the loss of loved ones, they're not going to stay dead. Comfort one another with these words. Jesus, thank you for being the center of our life, because that is so encouraging. His resurrection, you know, His presence now. He says, lo, I'm with you even to the ends of the world. That should suffice for any discouragement we have that God is with us. Okay? And then thirdly, that Jesus is coming back. He is. He's coming back. He said He was. He's never done anything He hadn't done. Except what He said He was going to do. He's true. If you can't believe Jesus, who can you believe? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. What He's saying is, you come over to me and I'll encourage you. You get yoked up with Jesus, you're going to be encouraged. Though the way is hard, and you're going to be an encourager to others. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You for being our encouragement. Help us, Lord, to encourage others to love You and express that in encouragement. And Lord, sometimes we just have to encourage ourselves because nobody else will. But even David, the great man of God's own heart, said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Lord, thank You for the grace to do that. Thank You, Lord, for convicting of our sins that You do. Lord, thank You for that. And you don't convict us of sin to discourage us, but rather just the opposite. For when we come to you with our sins and we confess them and we look to Jesus just like these Israelites, we're healed. And our souls feel so much better, Lord. Oh God, clear our consciences today for Christ's sake. Thank you, Lord, that you make all things new. And you give us the newness of life every day through Christ. Do your work, Lord. Encourage us, O Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.